You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
Oh, we've been right in it already, chatting about Rising Festival, which you've been over hanging out at. Alice, hello.
Hello. It was so good. I was over there for the week. I saw a lot of shows. There was a lot of stuff I loved. I saw a lot of, like, Cuckoo La La stuff, which you just love.
So, I mean,
like,
you'd be disappointed if you went to an arts festival and there wasn't a bit of, like, Cuckoo La La,
like,
going on.
My takeaway was there was a lot of work which was, like, let's sit in sonic work that was, like, provoking, like, what are the senses doing? It was very live. It was very much like you can't see this on a screen, you've got to see this. And but I did also see two large scale screen works, which was interesting, but they were both installations. Overall, a great time. Hated, like, a lot of shows that I saw, but also there was a moment, like, I saw a show by Aphid, so a Melbourne theatre company. Oh dear. Lara Toms is, like, investigating the orphan trope because she's lost both of her parents, and the whole cast was made up of people who had lost a parent or both.
Oh, wow, amazing.
And so, there were parts of it that I was like, I don't know if this is my taste. But my gosh, it was like, actually, this is an extremely interesting and incredibly, like, vulnerable show to put up in a festival.
So yeah.
It was just really lovely to you know, meet some of these ideas, some of these artists. I saw pretty much all Australian work, Euphoria, of course, which is the surround work by his name is Julian.
I'm looking at you. I don't know. I saw you posting about it, but that's as much as I know about this show. It did look kind of incredible, but you sort of mixed review on it.
Oh, look, the dialogue was terrible. Oh, it's the guy who did Manifesto with Kate Blanchett.
Oh, this work. Yeah.
Look, the dialogue was so terrible. It was terrible. It was so bad. It was just like, you know when you're, like, in your first year at university and then all, like, the philosophy students are hanging out and they're talking about, like, socialism, like, they've discovered it? That was the dialogue.
Okay.
And it was also really interesting to see, like, women of colour who were the actors trying to make sense of texts that had been written by, like, a white dude.
Yeah.
Really fascinating. It was a 2-hour durational film. I stayed for the whole 2 hours because I was also loving it. I was loving to hate it.
I felt like that even about Manifesto when it was on at the Auckland Art Gallery. I was like, oh, there's a lot of this I don't love, but I am also fascinated by it, and I'm also wowed by the spectacle of what's going on here.
Absolutely. And I think that was something about Rising, and sorry, we're going to get onto your show in a second, is there's nothing wrong with spectacle. There's nothing wrong with something feeling very live and vivacious. And on the topic of live and vivacious,
we've got some guests in the studio who very patiently listened to us talk about this.
I could listen to the two of you talk forever.
We could honestly, let's do Alice and Rachel go deep on theatre. That's at our podcast. I haven't met a midlife crisis where I have to do a podcast yet. I actually did do a theatre podcast many years ago.
Oh my god.
We are talking about The Bitching Hour, which you guys are doing for next week, opening at the Basement on the Tuesday, runs for 5 nights. Welcome to the show.
Liv and Carrie, so good to have you here.
Thank you so much for having us.
I'm holding my phone up because I want to make sure I get this right. Mm. The show is about...
Drum roll, please.
Oh, discreet. I can't find what the show's about.
Oh.
If you go down here.
Interesting. Oh, it's down there, show info.
Just had to scroll a little further.
Look, okay, the concept of the show is you guys are besties. You're absolute besties. Your friendship is palpable. Your you may know these guys from How We Survive, which was your first work. You also had another work on tour. Did you do another show?
Yeah, Hysterical.
Which was Hysterical. That's right, Hysterical. I managed to catch that one last year. I have both your books as well, which is
Thank
so cute.
You.
We love a bit of merch post show. You're now doing The Bitching Hour.
Yeah, we don't even know how we came up with the concept, but we were kind of like, what if we crossed a talk show, like a late night talk show, Jimmy Fallon-esque, with a poetry show?
Love it.
And The Bitching Hour has been born.
So I'm interested in your writing process, because there's the two of you and your words, you know, you're obviously both writing, but how does that kind of come together?
Yeah, I mean, so all of our shows are made up of a mix of sort of solo pieces and duet pieces, and even our solo work we write it separately, but obviously there's a rehearsal and sharing process that goes into that. We still work on those together, but duet pieces Kind of like a band putting together a song, I guess.
It makes a lot of sense. Oh, yeah.
We chat a lot about what we're going to write about. Most of the time we will then go away and write. This show's been a bit frantic. We've done a lot of live writing together rather than having pre-prepared material that we're just
piecing
together. It sounds kind
of fun in a hectic way.
But it is kind of fun in a hectic way.
And I think it's allowed us to create some poems that feel quite different than previous poems because there's less time for this show, but also more spontaneity in it.
I love that. That's the inherent thing you want to be doing as an artist, is reworking process as well as your content. And actually, you know, limitations could be liberating. The show comes up in a week. You guys have been touring, fundraising. You're about to go to Edinburgh in July, August.
Is it hysterical that you're taking to Edinburgh?
Yes,
flash.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense then. We've spent, 5 minutes talking about what's happening overseas, because you guys are about to go into the absolute thick of it.
Yes, we are.
How are you feeling about that?
Overwhelmed, stressed, but excited.
Yes.
We just leave very soon. And so we decided to do, Hot Mess, try to do a brand new show right before we leave. But we're also really excited to be, innovative and push our imagination. We've been doing Hysterical for over a year, so.
Yeah, everyone looks at us like we've truly lost it. But there was a purpose to the madness, in that we know that Edinburgh is going to be amazing, and also from everyone we've talked to, there'll be parts of it that we're slog, right? We're doing the same show 25 times and we wanted the chance to do something that felt like we were playing on stage and where we get to bring up amazing other poets from Tamaki and spotlight them, which we do in the Bitching Hour.
Nice.
And just generally really lean into some of the stuff that became really fun on the Hysterical tour, the moments of spontaneity that happened on stage and with audiences, and just to allow space for lots more of that with the Bitching Hour.
When you guys are making, how do you make decisions around performance? Like, as your writers, I wouldn't say you're primarily writers, you're performers, you're artists, but what kind of decisions do you make when it comes to the way the idea is embodied and articulated through the voice and stuff? Like, do you sort of direct each other, or do you kind of go, you could be more angry in that bit, or how does that work?
Yes, I think we like to say that we're kind of like a Venn diagram, like we're two very different people who have this big overlap, and there's moments where we don't even need to speak because we understand and are communicating telepathically with one another.
I want to get in on this.
I know, right? It's great. But it also allows us to have a really trusting relationship when it comes to feedback about writing, feedback about performance, stopping us in the middle of a piece and saying, hey, this, what if there was a breath here? What if there was a pause here? What if we got deeper into this?
And because we self-direct, there's a level to which we just have to not be that precious about what we're doing. Like, we would often say that we don't really take ownership over particular lines and things. What we've written becomes shared work. And if it gets edited, it's not about trying to edit one of us or change what one of us is doing. It's just about working towards the greater goal of the piece being as good as it can be.
Man, that is like the state that I desire to get to with my work. I mean, it's so, because it's really vulnerable, isn't it? Like, you write the stuff and then someone's like interrupting and being like, actually, that bit like isn't quite there yet, or you just need to really like push to the end of that line and then hold suspense. No, not like that, like this. I mean, it's incredible that it must be an extremely robust, and you've been working together for years to get to this place. I wanted to know, like, in terms of thematically, what is the Bitching Hour? Like, what kind of do you cover in terms of the content?
It was kind of surprising to us what we cover. I think it's kind of a release.
Yeah, it's a cathartic show.
It's a cathartic show in that we wanted to kind of tackle some of the themes of what it is to be a woman in your 30s, what it is to be surviving post-pandemic at the moment, but also what it is to be an artist. There's actually a really strong...
Yeah, that came up way more than I think we expected it to. Once we started writing, we realized we have a lot of feelings about being artists right now in this climate, and being artists that cross genres in a way where we don't necessarily always know where we fit or always know where we're accepted.
And being underestimated. It's actually like one of the biggest themes of the show is that specifically lots of men seem to underestimate us constantly, and we wanted to kind of just address that. So it is a bit of a bitch, but there's also tons of lightheartedness and fun in it.
Yeah, bitching is a release.
Yeah.
And as a way to process things rather than just for the sake of it.
Ripping the Band-Aid off rather than picking the scab.
Yeah. Maybe.
To use a disgusting metaphor, sorry.
You said scab. I do also like that idea of bitching as a performative action, because I sometimes think, like, I've got a few of my Goyle friends and we love to have a gossip every now and then. Mm-hmm. And I would almost say it's performative in the way that we will gossip about something that's juicy and completely banal, because actually it does release something in the body. I'm not actually talking about being toxic about your friends, but just like, oh my God, did you hear the release of that crazy iPod thing? Man, don't people look wacko wacko when they wear them? And you know, just to kind of indulge a little bit.
Yes.
So I'm absolutely vibing off the show. You have been fundraising towards Edinburgh. So talk to us about that. You've got a boosted campaign on right now.
Oh, thank you, Alice. We do have a boosted campaign on right now.
Nice.
We've been overwhelmed by the support. So we're at 75% of our initial goal,
awesome.
Which is
amazing.
Very, very dreamy. But I also know you have that point where you sort of, you're like, oh, it's dried up. We've used every person we know. And there's still 25% to go. So we're lucky. We've got another 2 weeks on it. So it'll run right through the bitching hour season.
Awesome.
Up until we leave to make sure that, yeah, we can go to Edinburgh and
eat
cover
food.
Our costs and eat while we're there.
It's a good thing to be able to eat while you perform.
Live on $2 sliced pizza. Although they have bloody good, the crepes there are really good. Like late night crepes.
Oh, my God.
Late night crepes. So
that's
good.
Fine. We will live on crepes.
Yeah. And just as not like a plug for Edinburgh, but you're there for the whole month, you're performing, you're hysterical.
Yeah.
For how many times do you do the show?
In Edinburgh, we're doing it 24 times. We're doing one show before we get there in London as well. It's kind of like a little preview.
Yeah.
See some friends and things like that. But yeah, we're doing 24 shows in 26 days.
Oh my God. Good
Summer
luck.
Hall. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Summer Hall is great. It's a great venue. I'll be there in August as well, which will be great. So, The Bitching Hour. It opens next Tuesday at The Basement. You're there for the whole week, Tuesday to Saturday. This show is so, these guys are so great. They're so damn good. I really, really just, I couldn't recommend going to a work enough. And it is cathartic. It really is. And it's like the way I just admire so much the way both of you are able to name the thing, but sometimes with distance, an interesting metaphor or a way of like looking at something inverted, or like it's just it's total artistry and the way that you write and also the way that you relate to the audience. And also these guys are both really emotionally present. It's lovely to watch performers that are just so in tune with that. So you have to see this show.
Basement Theatre tickets are on a sliding scale, which is awesome to see. A bunch of amazing poets going to be joining you as well, and you can grab all the details from the podcast. We'll put it in the podcast after the show, and we'll also chuck it on the Basement. It's already up on the Basement Theatre's website is what I'm trying to say. Carrie and Liv, thank you so much for coming in. Alice, nice to have you back.
Yay.
We'll see you all soon.
Thank you.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.